Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my colleague and good friend, Dr. Eagle, spoke to you about the objectives which the Lord himself gives us through his apostle. And when the apostle gave these objectives to the church, he made it his prayer that the Lord would produce these objectives in us. That's the way in which we must approach any and every aim that we have as servants of Christ our Lord. Always and only in him, with him, through him, and to him. And as a sequel to what Dr. Eagles brought to us yesterday, I want to go on with the same letter, this letter to the church. It's listed as the letter to the Ephesians, but you know that there was a blank. You can put St. James Podunk in there. And you know that if you are pastor of St. James Podunk, the Apostle Paul, as the emissary of God, is still speaking to your people, addressing this letter to them. Now we are gathered here in a completely different kind of congregation. Some would object to the term congregation because they think immediately of a particular parish at a particular spot. Here we are gathered from all places of the United States and Canada and the far countries. Yet we are congregating here before the Lord and with one another. And this text in which the Apostle Paul comes to us and entreats us as the minister of Christ and as a prisoner for him to be what we are here at the seminary. He's talking about unity, a unity that the Holy Spirit has brought about when he brought each of us to faith, made each of us a member of Christ's church with Christ as our head, with each one a fellow member. There was unity, one body, under one Lord, with one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The same Lord in you and me. The same Spirit guiding you and me here at the seminary. How then can so many evils start at seminaries? Do you know that most of the problems that were faced by our church and other Lutheran bodies started at the seminaries? That profs reaching out for all kinds of worldly wisdom and intellect and intelligence from where? I almost looked up on high and that was the wrong place. From out there somewhere. And then wanting to bring this new find into the church because this would help the church. And what happened? Naturally, with men of intelligence, with men of intellect and ability, students could easily be persuaded, and then the rift started. Are any going on here? I've been in the church long enough and at the seminary long enough to realize how easily this or that movement can begin and grow without anyone realizing until it's almost too late that something has blossomed that we are not happy about. Where do they start? Always with the prof? Always with the student? You know better than that. They start with Satan, who comes into the heart of a prof or a student or somebody else from the outside and starts his work. How did it start in the Garden of Eden with these perfect people? And you and I aren't perfect at all. But we are with the Spirit. We are under God. And we can prevent disunity by constantly looking to the Spirit who has given it in the first place and will preserve it among us. The only thing that we can do without Him is to wreck it. And we do that with the help of the devil. But we're not His henchmen. We are servants of Christ. We are here to work for His glory, for the extension of His kingdom, for the preparation of the saints for ministry, as Paul mentions in this same letter to the church. And then he comes to us with this kind of entreaty, that we do it all with humility. Where's the prof that thinks he knows it all? He better learn from the Lord to bow under the authority of the Word. Trust not in your own knowledge, but trust in the Lord, and with gentleness. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying that when he confronted Peter, when Peter started sitting with only the Jews after he had been gathering together with the Gentiles as well, and Paul had to speak to him face to face. I imagine he laid his arm pretty heavy. And when Barnabas wanted to take Mark along on that second journey, it got pretty hot. I don't see Paul always being gentle, and there are times where we can't be gentle. We've got to lay it on the line. We've got to tell people what's what. And yet when we entreat, when we urge, when we invite people to receive the grace of God and follow the Lord, then it ought to be with the gentleness of which Christ Himself gave us an example while He walked on earth. Prois is that Greek word that you've learned or will learn. Gentle. Riding on an ass on His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where He would earn the kingdom for Himself by His suffering and death. And He did it in a gentle way. You and I are His servants. You and I are the ones who are to go out to our people with that Christ who loves them. And especially from the pulpit, we need to speak to people with gentleness and with humility, as sinners speaking to sinners, as Christians speaking to Christians, as Spirit-filled people speaking to Spirit-filled people, and not forgetting that the Spirit is out there as well as here. Right? At times, pastors forget that. I'm sure that none of you who are here forget it. But at times pastors do, and the Spirit seems to come into my heart in part three of the sermon. Before that, I'm Matthew the publican or whatever, Judas Iscariot, and then suddenly conversion comes in. No, that's no way. My people are in the Spirit, in Christ, showing forbearance toward one another in love. That's what it's all about. In the love that Christ Himself has put into our hearts, with the ability that Christ Himself gives us through His Holy Spirit. There's no reason for controversies here. There's no reason for controversies out there. If we'll all abide by the entreaty of the Apostle Paul and make it our prayer as he made it his, that Christ will be full in us, that His Spirit will constantly guide and strengthen us, that we'll do our work here in the interest of the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not for our own aggrandizement, and that we will do it in love, with the love that he himself has given. God bless you abundantly with his spirit, with his love, with his courage, with his understanding and strength and all, that you may be his servant to the purpose for which God has brought you here and sends you out. Just keep in mind one more point. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That grace is yours as an individual. Use it together with the fellow saints to the glory of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life everlasting.